You're listening to the audio production of 1 Peter 1 and 2 Audio Lectures by Dennis R. Edwards, published by Zondervan and presented by the author. These audio lectures are a unique learning experience. Unlike a traditional audiobook's direct narration of a book's text, 1 Peter 1 and 2 Audio Lectures includes high-quality live recordings that cover the important points from each chapter, as well as relevant material from other sources.
Most people have heard of the Apostle Peter, at the very least because of jokes about St. Peter guarding the gates of heaven. We have pictures, cartoons, jokes about him at the pearly gates welcoming people in, presumably because in Matthew 16, after Peter confesses that Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord says, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven." Bible readers know Peter had a prominent place among the 12 apostles. Even so, the letters assigned to Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, have long held a rather modest place in biblical studies. Sometimes it seems we have robbed Peter to pay Paul. One scholar who has written extensively on 1st Peter, John Hall Elliott, referred to the letter as an exegetical stepchild. Yet, Martin Luther, who freely disparaged the letter of James, calling it an epistle of straw, considered 1 Peter to be, as he put it, one of the grandest epistles of the New Testament. But despite the relative disinterest in 1 Peter at various points in church history, the letter served as a source of encouragement as well as challenge, especially to Christians facing persecution in the late 1st and early 2nd centuries. For example, the early Christian authors Clement of Rome, the late 1st century, and Polycarp of Smyrna in the 2nd century, they found inspiration and consolation from 1 Peter. 1 Peter is an encyclical letter addressed to churches in 5 provinces in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. In the early 2nd century, Trajan was the emperor of the Roman Empire, and Pliny the Younger was governor of Pontus and Bithynia, 2 of the provinces that received Peter's letter. Governor Pliny wrote a letter to Trajan the emperor describing the governor's practice of interrogating and persecuting Christians. That letter was written not many years after 1 Peter was written. So we can see how 1 Peter might have served to encourage the Christians under Pliny and Trajan to hold on to their faith despite painful opposition. Now, we'll talk more about Peter and his authorship of the letter when we get into the first few verses of the letter itself. But a couple of things that struck me right away studying 1 Peter was his heavy dependence upon the Old Testament and the frequent use of rare words. Now, we need not draw any particular deep theological significance from his rare vocabulary, but his use of the Old Testament is theologically important. Peter uses the Old Testament to draw his readers into the story of God, which is a story of deliverance, a story of redemption, a story of divine love. There are many places where Peter places his readers within the story of God, starting with his use of the term elect. Elect is an allusion to God's election of Israel. Peter also demonstrates that the Christian community is to be a united people of God, not merely a group of individuals with similar beliefs. As the united people of God, they stand in solidarity with all sisters and brothers. Even when oppressed by naysayers and devilish detractors, the united people of God must not compromise, even to alleviate the conditions under which they struggle to survive. One of the major themes of 1 Peter is that of suffering. The letter itself does not emphasize violent attack. However, it does liken the alienation, the shame, the slander, and other abuses to being burned with fire, to like being in a crucible. And Peter's readers, they lived in a place and time where honor and shame functioned as key elements of the culture. And it's likely that the Christians faced verbal abuse and other actions designed to shame them.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?